what's your headline? Like, what do you want people to know about you? That is up to every single person to decide what they want to be known for.
This is the Safari. The Safari is a tour around the consumer, brand, and retailing industry. And we have the great privilege here at my company, Traub, to really be exposed to many of the great minds of the industry who are forming and shaping the future of many different parts of the consumer, brand, and retail world. And I felt it was quite interesting for us to be able to not only learn from all of those people as we do every day, but memorialize it into a podcast, which could then be shared with many of our friends and clients and you, obviously, the listener.
Hi, this is Kate Durge, and you are listening to The Safari. In today's episode, I'm interviewing dear friend Aliza Licht, who's an award-winning marketer, best-selling author, podcaster, personal branding expert, and the founder of Leave Your Mark, a multimedia brand and consultancy. Aliza advises businesses and mentors individuals on brand building and career development. Aliza leverages over two decades of expertise in marketing, communications, and digital strategy in the fashion industry. Her first book, Leave Your Mark, was published in 2015, and her latest book, On Brand, Shape Your Narrative, Share Your Vision, Shift Their Perception, is a comprehensive roadmap to building your personal brand. In today's episode, I talked to Aliza about learning how to communicate your value, shape your narrative, and stay on brand, both for you personally as well as consumer brands. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Okay, Aliza Licht, welcome to the Safari. I have to say,
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for hosting me.
Oh, it is an honor and a thrill. And I have to say, here we are on a steamy Monday morning in New York City. And I was looking forward to this moment with you all weekend long. So it is a true pleasure. But where are we finding you today?
New York City, steamy, humid, horrible.
Well, you're looking beautiful. And for our viewers who can't see you, your red lips are iconic Aliza Licht, who I have known forever. And this is truly a pleasure because I feel like life comes full circle. And truly, the amount of years and memories and moments we have had together, I'm looking forward to this conversation because I want our listeners to hear about your journey, which has been an incredible one. So because it's a long journey and an exciting one, and we have a lot to cover, I'd love to start from the beginning. And you and I, back in the day when we started out as assistants in the fashion industry, I think about how at that moment I was in PR and I was trying to help brands and you were trying to help brands in the editorial world, and truly how life has come full circle. And now we're going to be talking about our own personal brands today. But give us a little bit of a roadmap, Aliza, on how your journey began.
So like the best laid plans, I was pre-med, you know, graduated casually with neurobiology and physiology major. Tossed it to become an intern at Harper's Bazaar in the accessories closet, as one does.
Right.
And, you know, from there moved on to Mary Claire, where you and I met, where I was, again, in the accessories closet. And, you know, really dipping our toes into this crazy world of, like, fashion in the 90s, mm-hmm. which is so iconic in of itself, right? To have a front row seat, even though we were, you know, the lowest people on the totem pole. It was a pretty epic time, I will say. So a couple years in editorial, wanted to get promoted, got denied by Glenda Bailey in a very sort of dramatic, there's no way you're being promoted kind of moment. Love you, Glenda, but that was rough.
You don't hold it against her, though. You do not hold her. It's part of your journey.
I do not hold it against her, but it was pretty rough. And I decided, you know, I really felt like I needed to progress and there were no jobs. You remember, Kate, back then everyone stayed in their roles for like over a decade.
Myself included. I was a lifer.
So I was like, you know, these PR people, I know who's good. They call me, they pitch. And of course I knew you. And I ended up getting a role in PR at DKNY in 1998 and stayed there for 17 years doing traditional publicity.
Which was an incredible time. And in thinking about DKNY and DKNY PR Girl, talk to us a little bit about the making of DKNY PR Girl.
So, as you know, the role was pretty much, you know, 101 editorial relationships, fashion shows, celebrity dressing during awards season, and all the red carpets. And then in 2009, we were sitting around a marketing meeting talking about this newish platform called Twitter. And, you know, I was concerned as a publicist that Donna Karan was a person, but also the brand. And that if the Twitter handle was at Donna Karan, people would assume she was tweeting. And then that opened up a whole host of issues, right? So it was during the time of original Gossip Girl. And I was like, well, why can't we just, you know, take a page from that playbook and make this anonymous character that we can really share the brand through? So we pitched it to Patty, of course, and then our general counsel. And legal was like, okay, you know what? We feel comfortable with this only if one person has a login. Aliza, since you're the SVP of Global Communications, that's going to be you. I was like, okay. I had no idea what that meant. And you know, it's you touch it, you own it, mm-hmm. especially in fashion. And I just immersed into what it meant to be in social media at a time when other brands were really not in it. So it's wild to think we're, you know, in 2023 and we're still talking about this story. But even Taylor Lorenz, whose book comes out in October about like the history of influence, like she even credits DKNY PR Girl as being one of the first examples of a fashion influencer, even though we didn't intend for it to be, nor knew the word influencer right at the time. And I was anonymous for almost 2 years.
That's amazing. What brought you out of the closet in terms of having to?
You know, if you think back to that time, it was, you know, DKNY PR Girl was one of the first, and then all these fashion brands started jumping in the space, right? We had Oscar PR Girl with my friend Erica Bierman and Cannon Hodge, who did Bergdorf's, and there were so many amazing voices. And then there started to become social media conferences. So one day I was, you know, in my office and the phone rang and it was Teen Vogue. And they were like, we're doing a social media summit. We'd love DKNY PR Girl to come speak. And I was like, well, you know, she's anonymous, so that's not going to be possible. And then I hung up and I went into Patty's office after, Patty Cohen, my mentor. And I said, you know, I feel like we're missing opportunities because all of these conferences are happening right now. And like, what are we going to do? Like have me with like a bag on my head, like behind a screen to be able to participate. So we kind of all decided like, you know what?
It's time. Yeah. It's time.
And that reveal was a behind the scenes of Fashion Week view into my job as a quote PR girl living in New York City. People assumed I was a 22-year-old assistant. I was a mom of two little kids in my early 30s. And the reveal generated over 230 million media impressions.
Incredible.
Which is wild and really led to my first book deal, Leave Your Mark.
Yeah, which is where I want to go now. But I just want to have a sidebar moment here because I will never forget. You and I were having lunch at Michael's and I was pitching you or you were pitching me. We were in the discussion and you said, you know, I just need to take a moment. I need to look at my phone because I've been quiet on Twitter for the last hour and I just need to get back to my followers. And I was like, wow, this is a moment. And that's how engaged. So to think about you were doing that for a brand, a consumer brand. And at Traub, we talk a lot on our consulting side about how shaping a brand's perception. So you were shaping the brand's perception as the personality, as this DKNY PR girl. But then talk to us about your journey because you're leading us into your book in terms of Leave Your Mark and, of course, your latest book, which I'm most excited to talk about on brand. So what was that transition?
So I think it's important, since we are on safari here, to talk about the fact that one of my earliest learnings in immersing in social media. So you're right. I was, okay, let's say I was addicted, obviously.
In the best possible way.
I was tweeting upwards of 100 times a day, 7 days a week. No one told me to do this. No one made me do this. I did not get more money to do this. This was complete passion and feeling the energy from people who were responding and testing and learning content, right? So one of the biggest learnings from the beginning was really, you shouldn't really sell anything online, on social media, organic. What you need to do is tell a great story. Yeah. So the more that I told a story and wove the brand through that story, the more engagement we received. So it was never about our new handbags are now in store. It was about dressing celebrities on the red carpet and the behind the scenes and educating people on what happened in fashion at a time when brands didn't show those cards. Mm-hmm.
And is that the authenticity of a brand, do you think? Because it was opening it up, right? It was revealing what's behind the curtain.
I think it was, you know, it's funny. There's a juxtaposition between the fact that it was anonymous but authentic, right? So we're not totally anonymous, authentic because we were anonymous. But at a certain point, yeah, it was really helping to bring people into the fold. Now, I never name drop. I never spoke about celebrities that I was dressing or stylists that I was working with or editors. It was always celeb X, stylist Y, editor X. But the story was really just kind of showing people like, hey, like I work in this industry and here's what I do. And when I do it well, it creates this incredible brand awareness and buzz. And when I fail, well, it kind of sucks because you see, like one night when I thought I was going to dress Sandra Bullock for the Oscars and she showed up on the carpet in Alexander McQueen and everybody knew that I had somebody for the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And then I had to say that like I failed, like she's not in Donna Karan. So there was definitely a relationship you build with the audience. So it's like a friendship. People would be like, oh, I want to buy, you know, a new black dress. What do you think? Like I was their best girlfriend and that was the intention.
And building that relationship. So there's a loyalty, there's a brand loyalty because they're not loyal to you, but they're loyal to you as a person, but it's really about the brand. You're the voice of the brand.
I think it's creating this friendship between brand and consumer, right? Remember, they were there voluntarily, right? We were not paying them to be there. This is organic social media back in the day. So when you think about what brands need to do, brands need to go where the people are. You know, people are not necessarily going at that time to DKNY.com, but I was creating this amazing halo around the brand where maybe through my storytelling, they would. And that was really the goal.
Yeah. Okay. So take us to... You leave DKNY, PR girl, and talking about creating brands and elevating your own personal brand because you continued your fashion journey with other brands. But then I want to get to the place about how do you define your own personal brand? So,
yes. Well, I think it's worth noting. So On Brand, my newest book, starts off with me as the case study of me exiting Donna Karan. And I think for people in retail who are going to listen to this podcast, it's important to know that at the time we had a new CEO of the company. We had two new co-creative directors and they made a decision after doing a big focus group that DKNY PR Girl was no longer on brand for DKNY. So that was a huge, huge horrible moment in my career after 6 years of building this persona and this incredible community. And they were like, can you delete it?
That's unbelievable. I forgot this. So how do you've created this brand, this persona, you have this loyal following of probably, I don't even know how many.
It was over 1.5 million organic across channels, but over 500,000 on Twitter alone.
Unbelievable. And that was not on brand to where the direction of where the company was going and the brand was going.
Yes. The brand had decided they were going in a much more minimalist. Mm-hmm. They had hired the guys from public school and another guy from Apple. And they were going in this super sleek, modern minimalist. And my PR girl was sequins and bows and just like your best girlfriend. And it was a vibe for sure, right. But it was a different vibe than that. And I tell the story in the beginning of On Brand, I was like, okay, I don't want to do this job without them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, Donna Karan stepped down from the company. And then actually Patty stepped down first and then Donna stepped down. And then I was like, oh, hell no, am I staying here?
Right.
I left and I decided, you know what? I'll do my Leave Your Mark book tour, which was great. That book is, you know, as you know, incredible. A career mentorship yep. for young professionals. It's very Devil Wears Prada meets career advice. And then I decided I was going to be a consultant. We've had this discussion.
Yeah.
I sucked at it.
That is not true. That is not true.
It's 100% true. I sucked at it. And it's so funny because my husband would be like, so you know when you consult, you have to actually have clients, right? And I was like, I know, but like, I don't really like the ones that are coming to me and I'm not really landing any of the ones I'm pitching. So like, I don't know. I don't think this is for me. I documented my failure in Forbes. It was titled How You Know You're Not Meant to Be an Entrepreneur. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just go work corporate again. That's my happy place. So I went back in house. I went to Allison Olivia to head up marketing and communications, did that for 2.5 years and then got that creative bug again. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to start a podcast. So yeah. I started Leave Your Mark podcast in 2019. And then realized, oh, hell, I need to consult again because podcasts don't make money in the beginning.
Right. Surprise, surprise.
So I reformatted my thought process around how do I want to position myself, right? And this is truly the beginning of On Brand because I was known as a publicist. I didn't want to do PR anymore, right? I had to change the way people thought about me. So On Brand subtitles, shape your narrative, share your vision, shift their perception, very strategically is really about me in the beginning because that's what I had to do. I had to tell people, you know, yes, my whole career, the internet says I'm a PR girl. I get it. I love PR, but actually I'm really a marketer and I'm a digital strategist. And that's what I'm working on now. So I started to figure out, you know, now we call it fractional CMO, which is fancy. I called it rent a CMO because, you know, I am like a five and dime girl. So I would just go into different brands. I still do. And I would do, you know, 2 hours or 3 hours or run a team or whatever. And that works for me. But the idea today of understanding we have to know how we're showing up no matter the medium is really the inspiration behind On Brand, because the world has changed.
So much so. Yep. So talk to us about On Brand. And congratulations, by the way, because I think the book has received rave reviews. And for all of our listeners, if you have not read, first of all, Leave Your Mark, which I loved. And I do think you're the most incredible mentor for all of these, you know, the youth coming out of colleges and schools and changing jobs. And I have heard firsthand from so many people how beneficial your book has been and your advice.
Oh,
but
thank you.
I love even more how sort of On Brand is where you left off for Leave Your Mark. And I think it is critical. Listen, I talk to my own 19-year-old son who's in college and I talk to him all the time about he is his own brand. So what you put out there, especially on social media nowadays, lives forever. So you have to be very, very confident about what you're putting out there and how you're putting it out there. But that's across every generation. So tell us a little bit about On Brand.
On Brand is a comprehensive roadmap to building your personal brand. But I wanted to be very equitable between people who want to do social media and people who say, that's not for me. So the one caveat, I think LinkedIn is non-negotiable. If you're a professional person, you need to have a LinkedIn, a proper LinkedIn. You need to participate in LinkedIn. For everyone else, it's a choice. And when I started to think about what a strong personal brand means, I realized it's the magic of when your name is dropped in rooms you're not in and you're thought of for opportunities that other people haven't heard of yet. because you have shaped your narrative, you've communicated it to your network, and they know how to speak about you when you're not there. Mm-hmm. So going back to our old PR days, well, my old PR days, thinking in terms of what's your headline? Like, what do you want people to know about you? That is up to every single person to decide what they want to be known for. And unfortunately, the strategy of waiting around for people to either recognize that you're good at what you do, or you're basically thinking everybody already knows, so I don't need to talk about it.
Right.
It doesn't work.
So what do you do? How do you do that?
First of all, you have to answer the first question, which is, what do you want to be known for? What do you think your superpower is? What do you bring to the table? This could be for a person. This could be for a brand. I do it, you know, I consult both ways. But shaping that narrative and thinking about how are you arming people to be able to speak about you when you're not there? How are you communicating to your CEO or your manager what you've been able to accomplish? It's uncomfortable work, right? Nobody likes talking. Well, most people don't like talking about themselves. And the cover of On Brand is a spotlight. And even though I want people to learn how to do this, to shine a spotlight on themselves, not to the extent that they become the villain. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot in this book about learning how to communicate your value, but also amplifying and raising up the people around you who contribute to your success. And I have a ratio for every one time I'm sharing a personal accomplishment, I go out of my way to proactively promote 5 other people and what they're doing. Because nobody wants to listen to somebody talk about themselves all day. I hate bragging. I actually have like a 15 question quiz in On Brand, like, are you bragging? Like, take this quiz. There's mental gymnastics exercises throughout the book. There's actually workbook sections. But we are responsible for our personal brands. And for people who think they can opt out, it's like, oh, you know, honey, you already have one.
Right.
It starts with what makes you you. The question is, are you being perceived in the way that you want to? So the goal is to marry self-reflection with public perception. Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting, because public perception, I mean, listen, I'll give an example. I was in an industry event recently, and there was an unnamed, very well-known model who was there, and she stormed out of the room because she wasn't first in line for this speech. And I turned to my husband and I said, God, that's so on brand for her. So so there could be the positive public perception of someone's brand and then the negative. So how in that circumstance, I mean, listen, she's never going to change her perception, or no one's going to change how they think of her. But that being said, how do you turn a brand around? How do you turn your personal brand around? If whether it's pivoting in a job, or you need to turn things around in a more positive light, what's your advice?
The first step is always the audit. What is out there about you or your brand? Understanding that and owning it, it's hard to read sometimes, right? Especially if there's been a public misstep. Or, you know, you've had a failure of some kind, but understanding what you're up against and then reverse engineering how to undo essentially what the internet says about you.
Right.
And, you know, as you know, major publicists, like, there are many steps to this, but it does start with understanding what's out there, reshaping that narrative, communicating it to the people that need to know about it, but more than communicating it, taking action so that you're not just talking about it, right? You're walking the walk.
Right.
And we see this happen a lot when, you know, within cancel culture and people making very public mistakes. And I have a chapter. Can I curse on Safari?
Yes, go for it.
Okay. So I have a chapter called Beware of Zero Fucks Given People, mm-hmm. or Beware of Zero Fucks Given Branding. Because there is this idea, especially right now, actually, with the sort of creation of Threads, you're seeing a lot of unhinged marketing by brands. Mm. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's this idea that, like, get attention at all costs, right? So when we think back to the most famous brands on Twitter, you know, Wendy's comes to mind as someone who's typically been a little bit unhinged in the funniest way, or Duolingo, super unhinged. So now on Threads, there's this race to just get attention, but it can be at the expense of brand equity, mm-hmm. right? So creating your brand guardrails, understanding where you have permission to play and where you shouldn't play. Where are your boundaries for what you should be talking about and what you should let someone else talk about? All of these steps go into understanding how your brand needs to show up, whether it's building it from scratch or a rebrand.
Well, and I was going to ask about that. So the rebrand, because you recently, which by the way, again, for our listeners, if you do not follow Aliza on Instagram and social media, you must, because not only are you listening to her incredible advice, but you also get to see her apply her makeup. And I will say it's one of the best things to start my day, watching Aliza put on her makeup as she's giving this incredible advice. I don't know what I pay more attention to, your beautiful eyebrows and your lips or your advice, but I try to pay attention to both.
Well, fun fact, I used to do makeup for weddings.
What?
As just like a fun thing that I would do for friends. Then I would like do friends of friends. And, you know, that's when I have time. I mean, that's also like, I think a really big hack for social media in general. I don't have a content calendar.
Right.
So social media needs to fit into your life versus you being a slave to social media.
100%.
And when I'm getting ready in the morning is when I have time to talk and think through whatever is on my mind. So yes, you do get to watch me put on my makeup, which is, but I'm sure not that exciting for many.
It's very exciting for those, again, females out there. The shading effect over her eyebrows is truly amazing. But I think that you hit the nail on the head again, where it's you are your authentic self and you, Aliza, are showing up as your brand. And this is how you're presenting yourself in talking about how other people can position themselves. So I think people appreciate that's your real self in a guarded way and in an authentic way that you're doing it. So,
well, I appreciate that, but I want everyone to understand I wasn't always comfortable doing that. I wasn't always comfortable doing, you know, straight to camera video work. I put it off for many years, but when you work in social media like I do and you understand what the algorithms are looking for, it's really hard to swim in the opposite direction of what the platforms want to promote, right? So I think when you're thinking about social in general, even for a brand, like understanding if you are providing value, it makes it so much easier to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, giving advice on camera versus, for example, doing a selfie of my outfit, right? I'm more comfortable providing value and being of service to people who are watching than I am talking about like my purchases or what I'm wearing that day. That's not really my vibe.
No, and that's not your brand. So again, going back to your brand. So back to what I wanted to ask, because I was watching one of your tutorials, your makeup, your advice on dusty brands and how to dust off a brand. So rebranding in that way, what's your best advice? You have someone who's either, you know, been in the same job for 21 years and they feel like they're stuck in a rut. And again, this goes to individuals, personal brands, as well as brands, consumer brands we're talking about. How do you dust off a dusty brand?
So the kiss of death is being comfortable in anything.
So true.
Whether it's you in your job, whether it's your brand that has consistent sales, you know, quarter after quarter after quarter, eventually something is going to give. There's going to be competition. As workers, we become too expensive, right? And all of a sudden, you know, we haven't brought new ideas to the table. So I'm a really strong proponent of innovating within the existing, right? Innovating within your existing role, innovating within your existing brand, which means pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, learning something new, bringing new ideas to the table. How I always get new ideas is to go to other industry conferences. My whole career, I went outside of fashion for inspiration, because I think that we sometimes are talking to ourselves. And I think it's important to constantly be really exploring. So for example, when Threads, you know, came on the scene like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it is, there are so many people that are like, I'm not doing that. And somebody actually commented on my Instagram that they're not doing it. And I just wrote back, I highly recommend that you do.
Right.
Because when you resist, it's like even with AI, when you resist the future, you are showing people that you are antiquated.
Yeah.
Okay. You're showing people that you're antiquated, that you're not willing to change. You have to be open to what is ahead. And whether you're a person in a role or a brand, if you are not constantly learning something new, you become dusty.
Yeah.
And then you become disposable.
Mm-hmm. Dusty to disposable, innovative to opportunities.
Yes. So, you know, grab your Windex and just clean it off and try to show up in a new way. And we see, you know, we see many brands who do this really well. I mean, to even take Hermes, for example, okay? Hermes is a very static brand. It is the same for years and years. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, no, we're opening gyms. Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. You're opening gyms? Because it's buzzy. It's different. It's of the moment. That's what people care about. Their well-being, their physical health, their mental health. Like, brilliant. You know, so it's, again, it's giving, staying within the brand guardrails, not doing something completely, you know, outside where your core audience is like, I don't know who you are anymore. Sense. I don't want a part of this, but pushing the walls back. You know, if you ever renovated something and, you know, your contractor says to you, oh, there's dead space back here. You can push this wall back. That's how I visualize it. It's like, you're not changing the whole space, but you're expanding how you're thinking about yourself or your brand.
Yeah. Amazing. Do you, so Hermes is a great example of a consumer brand. For you, you personally, you continue to evolve. You're talking about Threads, you're on social media, you're, you know, I've witnessed your tutorials, your, the words that show up on screen. I mean, all of that is a continual evolution and process. On Brand has just come out. And so this is your focus now. Where do you see yourself in terms of what's the continued evolution of Aliza Licht? And for our listeners, how can you help our listeners, both brands and personal brands?
Well, thanks for asking that. So I think for me, and you will appreciate this, like deep in your soul, you know, in PR, we learn you're only as good as your last credit.
Yes.
Right. And we all know you could have, you know, got the cover of Vogue or dressed someone for the Oscars and you feel amazing that day. And the next day it's over.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. So I grew up with that mentality. Thank you, Patty Cohen. I grew up with that mentality of you're only as good as your last credit. So I will say I have to try really hard to enjoy success for more than a day. I'm really, really bad at it. So I would say right now what is fulfilling me is speaking at companies and helping teams think about establishing their personal brands within a corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes beyond marketing yourself. What that does is really speaks to the idea of earning social capital, working cross-functionally, bringing your best self to work, not your whole self. Your whole self isn't appropriate for work. So all of these things, so I've been on the speaking circuit, and the idea of establishing your personal brand at work, people don't realize how important it is, because everyone wants a promotion, right? Everyone. But no one really thinks through how they're going to actually get that, or like the value that they're adding to the company. So there's an incredible halo effect between when you think about where you work and what you give to that company versus what that company gives to you. And one of the things I speak about in On Brand and also Leave Your Mark is the idea of not suffering from last name syndrome. I was Aliza from DKNY.
Mm-hmm.
for 17 years, right? Or DKNY PR Girl, whichever you prefer. Your identity becomes your company. And the whole premise behind On Brand is building equity in your own name so that your name is actually of value to your company. Your company is proud that you work there. And it's this symbiotic relationship, right? So that has been really fulfilling. And then I'm still doing my consulting work with brands and now people. So it's a hybrid, split, really.
Oh, you are amazing. And I know we don't have all day, although I would love to sit and talk all day because there's so much wisdom that I gain from you. Truly, you to me are not only a wonderful friend, but a mentor over the years, even though we've been growing up in the industry together. But best advice, what's the best advice you've received? And that's a very broad question, but for your personal brand that you can give to our listeners.
It's really simple. It's from my grandmother, Hilda, and she always said it growing up. It is, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. So our personal brands are also affected by what and who we surround ourselves with, right? It's what you say, it's what you do, it's your mannerisms, your energy, your attitude, what you choose to align with. So thinking about what you surround yourself with, what's on brand for you, is really what people have to navigate and understand.
I love that. That's an incredible takeaway. And you know, I am a strong believer of you want to make an impact and you want to live life to the fullest. And you truly do that. And
you do too, Kate. What you and Chad have done for Penny's Flight is, I have no words.
Well, thank you. But again, you know this, coming up in the industry and growing up together, it feels like, you know, life is short. You just want to make an impact and work with good people and help others. And you are doing that. And I'm so grateful for your time and, you know, everything you're doing. And no, this is so fun. And for our listeners, truly, you know, whether it's Leave Your Mark or On Brand or reaching out to Aliza for your own personal brand or companies, she's the go-to woman here. So,
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And who knew you had such a good radio voice?
Thank you. I love that. I got to try this out more often. You're the best, Aliza. Thanks so much. And we will talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
If you want to learn a little bit more about Traub, you can go to traub.io, where you'll learn a lot about everything that we do. If you're enjoying the safari, please do share it with your friends and colleagues within the industry. And please also don't forget to subscribe and like it. Until next time.